right now as a people, we're going through something we could have never imagined. We've seen things in the last few days and heard sounds that we could have never fathomed and that we wish we would have never seen or never heard. But unfortunately, this is somehow a reality. One of the hardest parts, I think, for many of us is feeling helpless. Baruch Hashem, there are so many amazing chesed opportunities that many of us in our WhatsApp groups are just seeing post after post about all different types of chesed opportunities, whether it's with food or clothing, whatever it may be, supplies, whatever it may be to help the soldiers and the civilians of Eretz Yisrael get through this tremendously difficult time. But even with that, I don't know about you, speaking about myself, aside from trying to donate some money or doing what we could do, I think there's still a feeling that we're not doing much. And it's hard because we know that there are potentially your family members, everyone, of course, our brothers and sisters in ourselves. We might have literally immediate family members or cousins or close friends who are there on the front lines protecting Eretz Yisrael and fighting this intense war. And here we are, in the comfort of our homes. The most we could do, it seems, is empathize and feel bad. But of course, as Jewish people, we have tefillah. We have tefillah. And what I want to do over the next few minutes is just to recognize just how powerful that is. It's not just, okay, you know, it's a b'di'avad. You can't really help, so just daven. But it's something that does tremendous, tremendous yeshuos in Shamayim. There is so much potency within tefillah and so much power to it that we can't fathom. The Gemara even says that tefillah is something that is elevated in the Shemaim. It's really something so lofty, and it's trampled on by man, by humanity. We don't treat it properly. Unfortunately, of course, there are times where we space out, times where we don't dive in like we should. It might be too often, unfortunately. But it's really something extremely, extremely special and extremely powerful. Rav David L. Weinberg is a Rav in Eretz Yisrael. He works in Yeshiva Oraita. And before he was there, when he was in YU, so I used to have Shal Shudis. I am friends with him, friends with his brother. Many people know his oldest brother, Rav Moshe Tzvi Weinberg. And I've had Shal Shudis with all of them many, many times. And typically speaking, we used to go back to shul to daven Maariv, but there's some times where if we had a large group, so we would daven there. And on more than one occasion, I remember David L. Weinberg handing out Sidurim and saying, choose your weapon. And aside from being a cute line, it's a real thing. We have the power to do so much with tefillah. Just davening to Hashem is a very powerful thing. Rav Soloveitchik, in Worship of the Heart, asks, how do we even have the ability? How do humans who have the brazenness, we're so frail, look at us. How do we have the ability to go to the Melech Malchei Amlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do we have the audacity, the brazenness to go to Hashem and ask Hashem for things? Sometimes demand things of Hashem. How can we do that? Who are we? Imagine just marching in to the Oval Office and making demands of the president. Going to Netanyahu and demanding something. Requesting something. Who are you? Why should I listen to you? How are we even able to do that? Kal v'chomer, of course, going to Hashem. How could we do that? And his first answer is a very powerful one. Rav Soloveitchik says, the reason we're able to daven, the reason why we have the license to daven, is because we can't live without it. It's something that is so natural and something that just when we hear of a need, when there's something we need of Hashem, We have to daven. We have no choice. It's within us to call out and scream out to Hashem. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that a non-Jew has an obligation to daven. Now, at first glance, okay, fine, non-Jew should daven, sounds great. But what's the problem with that? The problem with that statement is that the non-Jews have Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. And you know what's not listed on Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach? Tefillah. It does not say that they have to daven. And you ever, so Rav Moshe says, they have to daven. He says, you might tell me that the Gemara says that they have Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, and nowhere on the list does it say that a non-Jew has to daven. Says Rav Moshe, you know why it's not on the list? Because it's so obvious that they have to daven. That to have a relationship with God, there's only one way to do that, and that's to communicate. That's through tefillah. We need that. So how effective is tefillah? So I want to share with you an amazing mashal I heard from the son of Rav Micheltorsky. Heard this about 15 years ago or so. And I've shared this with many, many students of mine. It goes as follows. Imagine that the United States Army wants to hire some new workers. They want to get some cheap labor. They have some simple jobs, not jobs that they need for highly trained soldiers or for people working in the tech side of the military, but really some simple mundane jobs. And they need people to fill those spots. They can't get enough Americans. So they decide to go to a third world country and bring back people from that country to pay whatever, a regular minimum wage, regular salary to them, to bring them back to work here in the Army, in the U.S., to do some simple tasks. So they go there, and these people have never even seen technology. They're in such remote lands, such primitive lives. And they say, sure, we're happy to come. Why not? We have nothing going on here. They get on the airplane, and they're flown all the way to Arizona. They're brought to a military base. And one of these men from the third world country is brought to a room that has a huge dashboard, a huge control panel with tons of buttons, all different shapes, all different colors. And he's seated down at the seat. And the army personnel who's training him says, you have one simple job. If any of these buttons light up, I want you to go outside and tell the army personnel, the officer at the end of the hallway. That's what you have to do. That's it. And then he warns him and he says, but whatever you do, never press any of these buttons. You cannot. Don't press them. And then he points to one in the middle, a big red button. And he says, now really, never, ever press this button. You can never press any buttons, this one especially. He says, okay, no problem. So he's sitting there, and he's looking at the control panel, look at all these buttons, and nothing's going on. Now, where he's from, he's used to working with his hands, working with his feet, doing laundry in the lake, farming in the field, right? Living a real lifestyle, a busy lifestyle. And here he is just sitting down. He's getting bored. Hour after hour, nothing's going on. And he decides, you know what? I have to press a button. And he presses a button, presses a green button. And he looks around and nothing happens. Okay. And he's like, you know what? I think it's time for the red button. And he presses the red button. And he looks at the room and there's nothing going on in the room. And he hears sirens going off. And he starts to hear from the hallway soldiers running. And the officers run into his room. And he said, what did you do? And he looks at them and he's puzzled. He says, what do you mean? I pressed the button, but there's nothing going on. Now, what he's thinking is, I've never experienced technology. I don't recognize that if something's not happening right here around me, that means nothing is happening from this button that I'm pressing. And the soldiers tell him, Are you an idiot? You just launched a missile. Yeah, there's nothing right here, but outside, from what you just pressed, you launched a rocket. And he didn't realize. He just doesn't understand that. How could it be that I do something in one place and something occurs in another place? He's never experienced that. And the Nimshal is as follows. When we daven and we pour our hearts out to Hashem for the civilians in Eretz Yisrael, for the hostages, for the soldiers, we open our eyes after we finish saying Shmon Esrei or Tehillim or wherever it may be, and the room that we're in is exactly the same way it was than when we started davening. Nothing changed. And tefillah after tefillah, we don't see a difference. We don't even get a report. You know what? This tefillah that you said actually saved someone. There's no report we'll ever hear back. But you know what? We are firing rockets, spiritual rockets, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking these powerful tefillos and he's using them to aid the situation. Every single tefillah has tremendous potency and it really, mamish, does wonders, but we just can't see it. So it's so important for us to internalize, for us to recognize just how real tefillah is and how much it actually does, even though we open our eyes and everything looks the same, and even though we're never going to get a report back that it was your tefillah that saved someone from a hospital bed, it was your tefillah that got a hostage out. We will never hear that. We have to recognize that it's true. And collectively, all the Jewish people coming together now, which is so beautiful to see. Just the achdus and the unity and everyone davening their hearts out. We have to recognize just how much that really is making a roshem, how much that is impacting the situation. Whether we see it or not, we just have to know that it's real. So let's go where we started from. Let's go back to that. We feel helpless, but we shouldn't. Because we have to recognize that even though we're not there, we're not in the Eretz Yisrael, many of us, some of us are maybe listening right now from Eretz Yisrael, but most of us listening right now are certainly not on the front lines. We might not feel like we're making much of a difference, but recognize that every kapitel Tehillim that you say, every Shmona Esrei you daven, where you have in mind the Chayalim and Eretz Yisrael, recognize that really is making a huge difference and a huge impact. And never stop. Never give up. Every tefillah matters.